You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
As a child, I loved sitting in my dad's lap as he drove. I pretended I was piloting the car. Now we strap our kids into their Department of Transportation approved car seats, safely ensconced in the back seat. But not all of our family members get the same safeguards. Our pets may become projectiles even in a slow speed crash, injuring themselves or other passengers. Lindsay Wokel, the founder and CEO for the Center of Pet Safety, will disclose the results of a landmark study comparing dog car safety harnesses. The findings may cause you to rethink taking your pet for a jaunt in the car. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Swipe It's a revolutionary new product that literally swipes away cat hair from virtually any surface. You know, most of us struggle with a roller or vacuum cleaner to clean up cat hair, but anyone who has tried either of these knows they just don't work very well. But Swipe It's patent pending glove has a magnetic like quality that removes cat hair from almost everything. And best of all, Swipe It's is machine washable, so you can use it over and over again. To order, just visit swipeits.com. That's S-W-I-P-E-T-S. A simple solution for shedding.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Ms. Wolko, this was an amazing, kind of scary study. Thank you for doing this. Are you the first one who's ever done anything like this?
We are the first one who's done a comprehensive study. Back in 2011, I did a pilot study after talking to many customers about their concerns about these products and whether or not they actually provide protection. So Subaru came along earlier this year and said, you know, we saw your results from the pilot study. How can we help? And so we kicked this off, and it is the first study of its kind.
So many of my clients bring their cats and dogs into the practice, and thankfully, those that do bring them in a safety harness for the dogs and the cats, I'll always want them, or small dogs, to be in a carrier in the back seat. You know, they're very proud of themselves that they have a harness on their pets, that their dog isn't driving down the road on their lap with their little ears flapping in the wind, sticking, you know, their head out the window, which I have to admit does look cute. But it's just not safe. How do we know if this harness, you think it's safe? How do you know?
I think it comes back to, you know, what your definition of safety means. Defining safety for the pet owner currently is that these products simply only have to provide distraction prevention, which on its own are extremely important. That can help reduce the amount of accidents that occur. However, if you are in a short stop for an accident, that harness may not hold up. And that was the gist of this study, was we wanted to look and make sure that the products themselves had integrity, that they provided a functional protection to the animal, but also, in turn, they provided functional protection to the other vehicle occupants, so those people sitting in front of the dog or to the side of the dog, to make sure that they weren't injured.
Have there been studies done that have give you numbers of the number of times there's been an automobile accident that maybe the pet caused it, or number two, that the pet was injured, either thrown out of a window or just tossed around in the car? Are there numbers for that?
There are not, and that's very surprising. When we started looking into this years ago, we want data. We want to see how many people are involved in these accidents, who's getting injured, how are they being injured, and what happens to the animal. So the only thing we can go back to at this stage of the game are veterinary records that are collected by the ER vets or your veterinarian who's treating those injuries. But as far as police records go or any kind of notations that are made at the scenes of accidents, the dogs are simply not captured. That information's not captured.
Now, this study, correct if I'm wrong, is just about dogs. Are you planning on doing, since it's Center for Pet Safety, are you planning on doing studies for cats?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we understand the importance of pets, you know, cats, and you know, they're very, very important family members. Dogs, however, are the primary traveling companion when you go out to do your adventures together. You know, that we know when you talk about Subaru, the reason they hopped onto this study and they helped support this was because 50% of their car owners have dogs and they encourage them to travel together. So the dog is the primary traveling companion. The cats come along to go to the vet, primarily is what we see. We do have some advice for pet owners that are traveling with their cats. But again, we have to do additional work in the laboratory and develop the simulants for the cats, which we are actively doing right now. We have a lot of work to do, but we have to fund that work. The testing that we do is extraordinarily expensive, and we are working right now to find sponsoring partners who can help sponsor studies, as Subaru did.
And looking at some of Subaru's car commercials, seeing the dogs being promoted so prominently where, you know, they're driving the car and that's, you know, the passenger and that's the driver is the dog. I can see that Subaru has an affinity for pets and that's wonderful they've become involved with you. Are there states right now in the United States that it is illegal for a pet not to be harnessed in, or are they still kind of considered you're on your own, do what you want to?
I believe New Jersey is the first one to come out and require restraint or containment during travel. The enforcement of that is being done, I believe, at the animal control level, not at the police level. That was my current understanding.
And that's difficult because there's not that many out there to patrol, saying, yes, animal control is doing so many other things.
Well, and again, it's kind of sketchy how that's being managed. We don't live in New Jersey, and while we did receive a phone call from the assemblywoman, we haven't had a chance to sit down and talk to her about the success of their program. But we do, you know, we are working on an educational program that we would like to launch at a national level to help make pet owners aware of not only the risks to their pets, but also the risk to them and their passengers in those vehicles when those, you know, we want you to select and use a product and make sure that that product actually does what it's supposed to do.
So how does a pet owner, other than going to your study and seeing your findings, know if a harness may be good? I go to the pet store, I'm looking at these various harnesses, it looks like it's been tested, it looks like it's sturdy, it looks like it's expensive, so what should they look for?
You really need to do some due diligence beyond going to your local big box retailer. Many of these retailers, they source products because of a price point. Those price points are so low. In many cases, we're looking at, you know, $35, $40 and below. We know that the testing is likely not sufficient. In many cases, if a manufacturer claims testing and they are at that price point, the product itself may have been tested at one size, but not all sizes. So maybe the size medium might hold up, but what we recommend is for pet owners to go and investigate the manufacturer they're considering. Look for their website online. Look at the crash test video that they've provided. We're actually encouraging and working with manufacturers to allow them use of our test dogs so that they can produce their own test video content. We are wanting these products, when you see the test video, we want the products to prevent the launch of the test dog off of the seat of, you know, the sled that's being used. That will help reduce injury to your pet and help prevent your pet from becoming that tethered projectile, as it were, that could still hit you if you are traveling. You've got, many of these products have long extension tethers, and the long extension tethers are of great concern to us. That's one of those reasons, if you look at their summary report that we've made available on our website, centerforpetsafety.org, you will see that manufacturers were downgraded if they had these long extension tethers because they allowed the dog to launch, in some cases, 6 feet forward.
6 feet is just a huge distance. That's the back of the seat to the windshield, it seems like, in a small car.
essentially, if the dog had a clear shot with one of those products and had a clear shot to the front, the dog could be tethered in the back seat, yet still hit the windshield.
Wow. Lindsay, you were talking about having these test dogs where you can test it for a medium-sized dog in a harness. Your studies, actually, you needed to create test dogs. It's not one that you can just, you know, we've all watched television commercials and different cars have been tested by insurance agency and side crashes and you see the dummies. But there was nothing like a test dog dummy, correct? You had to make it yourself?
We did. We actually had a crash test dog developed back in 2011 for our pilot study, and we learned a lot with him. He was a 55-pound boxer, and we had, you know, he would make maybe one or two tests, and then we'd have to replace him with another, you know, another test dog. So we worked with
Why would you have to replace him? It seems like, you know, he's in a little harness, and how is he being injured? He's a stuffed dog.
Well, it's a stuffed dog, but it has a metal core to it. And because the products in our pilot study didn't provide the protection we were hoping, you know, we had one that actually, unfortunately, tore the head off of our test dog. We had one test run with him, and I had to replace him with another dog. I mean, again, these are very violent tests that we do, and we are working to understand worst-case scenario to make sure that the products hold up for you and make sure your pets are safe. So we had a gentleman who works with NASA volunteer some time with our team. And he helped make recommendations on the design and the materials that we used for our test dogs. So the ones that we have developed this year for this study are amazing tools to us. We have instrumentation that's embedded inside of them. They're actually authentically weighted. The center of gravity is in the right location. So they're very, very good simulants for testing these products. And we're very proud of our test dogs.
And it sounds as though they're probably not inexpensive.
They are not inexpensive. Just the design development side of things was quite costly. So we do want manufacturers, though, to have access to use these products, to use the test dogs so that they can conduct their own testing. That helps us fulfill our mission for the pet owners out there. So through a licensing program, we have made the dogs available to manufacturers at no charge. The only thing we do stipulate, you know, we ask for a copy of the data that's returned from the test for our database. And then we also require, at this point in time, that they use the test facility that we use so that we can control the test conditions. In the future, we are looking at doing a production run so that other test facilities around the country can purchase our test dogs. So that's something we're looking at for 2014.
So you have small, medium, and large. The harnesses, are you finding, does it matter just kind of being scaled down for a smaller dog, a big dog? Does it have to be changed so you can say, oh, well, you know, it's kind of an in-between size dog, so I can still use the same one and it's okay, or it loses weight? Does size really matter?
It does. One of the things that we look at is the components on these harness products change based on the size of the product. Many cases, depending on the manufacturer, they may use identical components for, you know, their size, medium, large, and extra large. But the type of components they use matters. The integrity of the webbing that they use, the stitching integrities, all of that matters based on the size of the test dog that's being tested. It is not sufficient to just test one size and scale your harness down. You need to test every size. And that's what we're working to encourage manufacturers to do that through the standard that we're hoping to publish here in the near future.
I'm talking right now to Lindsay Wolko. She is founder and CEO for Center for Pet Safety, talking about car harnesses. Interesting information. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika, Kate Abbott, and Petra Burke. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Lindsay, I have some granddaughters, and I know when the children were born and my daughter was looking at various car seats and finding ones that had 5-point attachments and had to fit here and snugged up there, and she really did her homework. The number of points of attachment, how it fits, can somebody find out how to properly fit one of these to a pet? Because it seems like that would make a major difference besides just, you know, throwing it on your pet going, oh yeah, this one's easy and I'll just use this one.
We are right now encouraging manufacturers to adopt a sizing standard and help us work with us to develop that sizing standard for the industry. We know that, you know, instructions are important. We are also encouraging manufacturers to create instructional videos, make those available for pet owners so that they can see how the product is to be used as stated by the manufacturer. It's not just simply making sure you're connected, it's how you are connected. Our top performer of the 2013 study had a multiple point connection. It is the only harness on the market that offers that multiple point connection. And the design of that is critical for many of the things that we have on our wish list, for pet safety wish list, of what this product should do. So that's one of the reasons that product was selected, was because of the complexity of the connection. You know, and we've tested it with pet owners here locally to make sure that it was not too cumbersome. It really is an amazing tool when you see it in action.
So the harnesses that you want, you're looking for something, I'm sure, that's easy for them to get into and protect them. I've had dogs come in that have been in, the owner's been in an automobile accident, the pet's been in the back, and many times they have whiplash. Their neck's been hurt. Their back's been hurt. Are you looking to have a harness that can somehow protect the entire body? Because here they're not in a little seat. You know, they're just sitting with this harness on their body. It seems like that's a lot of pressure on their chest. What are your major concerns? What kind of things are you looking for in these standards?
Well, at the beginning, again, we're at the very beginning of this process. Standards, you know, to encourage manufacturers to create better products, we have to have a level playing field. Right now, our goal is to prevent the dog from launching off of the seat. That will help protect the head, neck, spine. And then additionally, we want to provide protection for rotation. That is a nice to have versus a must have at this stage of the game. Eventually, we'll tighten that standard up over time. But the rotation control is very important to make sure that the dog's side to side movement is restricted as well. We want to make sure that that spine is as stable as possible. Going forward, we anticipate that, you know, energy mitigation tools will be used with these products. Actually, the Sleepy Pod product that took first place in our study, our top performer, has energy mitigation in it. However, minimal at this stage of the game, it is a deal breaker when you start looking at putting energy mitigation into a tool versus none, and that helps reduce the chest compression. You know, again, we have a lot of work to do in this area.
So energy mitigation, like a foam, so there's not as much pressure on the chest? Is that what you mean?
Well, the design, again, we're in the process of partnering with a veterinary school to help us further some of the more medically necessary things regarding these harnesses. where should the ideal placement be? How high is too high on the neck? You know, how much pressure can, you know, the animal take? Those types of things are things we need to study. And that's down the road. We'll get there. We're very hopeful that in our version 3.0 test dogs, we will be able to put load cells in so that we can measure how much compression is being applied to the chest. We want to be able to measure these things so that we can use the human studies that were done and leverage that information going forward to offer the best possible protection for pets.
I know they've been doing these safety studies for people for so many years, and you're just starting, and thankfully you started this, because this is a concern I've had for so many years, you know, watching dogs on people's laps, watching them with their head flipping out the window, having cats walking around in somebody's, you know, car just freeze, like, oh my goodness, folks, this is just not safe for anyone involved in the situation. Keep them in their carriers, keep them in the back seat. Small pets, I know they have the booster seats because you want your pet to enjoy the ride, so sometimes they need to look out the window, but so many things to consider. Your videos are absolutely amazing because it looks just like the same type of crash testing we've seen for years in dogs. How did you get into this business?
Well, my dog Maggie was injured in 2004. I had her in a harness in the back seat of my vehicle, and I slammed on the brakes to avoid an accident. And Maggie slammed into the back of the front seat. But what I didn't realize was that she had become tangled in the tether as well. She was hogtied from behind, and she ended up with a strained spine and strained hips. She was on confinement and painkillers for a while. I was so grateful that she was not more seriously injured, but at the same point in time, as a pet owner, I was very, very angry that this product that I bought, believing would offer my pet protection, offered nothing. And so over time, I started looking into these products one by one, sampling, trying to find out what would work for Maggie and for me. What's easy for us to use, what's going to hold up, what looks like it's going to be strong. And I started doing consumer trials on pet products. So over time, in 2008, I ended up launching a company called caninecommuter.com. Hmm. Where we independently sampled and trialed products for quality and performance to make sure that, you know, we could stand behind the products that we were offering to pet owners. And it turned more into a labor of love at that stage of the game. You know, I won't tell you that online retailers make a lot of money these days because of the competition. But I would talk to these pet owners, and they would they love their pets. They love to tell stories about how they love to travel with them. And they would confide in me that they really didn't have a lot of trust, that they were being told the truth by the manufacturers. And they said, how can we trust that these products aren't going to, you know, hurt my dog? So I took time out and in 2010 started planning this study. And that's where we did the pilot study in 2011. And we published the results in 2012 because we knew how devastating this was going to be for pet owners to hear this. We didn't have any good news for them. We have an unregulated industry. We know from the pet food issues that are out there right now that the products that are on the market are questionable at best. And, you know, that's the tip of an iceberg. When we start looking at harnesses and travel products, you mentioned booster seats earlier, crates, carriers, barriers, all of those things don't have to be tested and are largely untested by the manufacturers. And that's where our goal is, to make sure that these products are safe for not only pets but also their people.
You mentioned the barriers, you know, you have it in the back, if you have an SUV, you have this barrier up, and it seems like it keeps your pet in the back, but that's still a large space if you have to slam on the brakes for it to bounce around like a BB in this area. Are barriers safe at all, or is it better than nothing?
Again, you have to weigh your definition of safe. My definition of safe is that it's going to protect my pet and that's not going to cause injury to my pet or my vehicle passengers. Barriers, we know, are questionable because you are, you know, the metal barriers, again, many of them are based on tension bars, which are spring-loaded bars, and they're held in place by tension bars. So if your dog hits that in an accident or a short stop, it could cause that to shift. We are concerned about the dog hitting a solid, hard surface. We are concerned about the fabric barriers. Fabric barriers largely will offer nothing more than distraction protection. And we're just working to educate pet owners so that when they go out to purchase a product, they can say, all right, what is important to me? Do I just care about distraction, or do I really care about protecting my pet and my vehicle passengers? So we want them to make an educated decision. And that's where our mission lies, and to understand that we are working to encourage manufacturers to test products. We are working to improve an industry, trying to be as constructive as we can by inviting manufacturers to work with us and attend these tests. But at the same point in time, we don't receive any funding from manufacturers. We want to eventually work to become oversight and make sure that products that are marketed are independently tested and held to a standard to make sure that you're getting your money's worth, that that product that you buy has been independently tested and will offer real protection as evaluated by an independent, you know, impartial entity.
And you just answered one of my questions. I wanted you to disclose your top four harnesses in your safety rating. And these companies did not pay you any money to do this testing. This was testing that you did in conjunction with Subaru. And then tell us all how Subaru has embraced your results and this particular company that's number one.
Well, Subaru, like I said, Subaru reached out earlier this year, and they said, how can we help you? We're very concerned about our Subaru family and the pets that they love and they travel with. So Subaru provided all of the funding that was needed for this study. We worked together. They understood. They put it in the hands of the Center for Pet Safety, so we developed the study, the testing plans, the protocols, everything was, you know, we worked with the engineering test facility. The engineering test facility we work with actually conducts all of the testing for the federal government for all the child safety seats. Very impressive company. The top four performers of this, again, we have to look at the way that Center for Pet Safety had to look at these products. So being a top performer, again, the only one that really stood up to the test was the Sleepy Pod Clickit utility harness. That is the only three-point connection harness that's available on the market. It helped prevent rotation, the side-to-side rotation. It prevented the launch of the test dog consistently for every single size. There are two other products that also performed consistently across every single size, and those are the number two, which is the all-safe product, and then number three, which was the Rough Rider Roadie. Now, just because they tested evenly as far as they all sizes performed the same doesn't mean that they prevented the launch off of the seat. That's what we were looking for, is to prevent the launch off of the seat. And both the all-safe and the Rough Rider allowed the test dog to consistently launch off of the seat. So there is a risk there. So that's why they were named, you know, we have our rating system that, you know, if you look at our report, we broke it down based on the consistency across the sizes. And then the fourth performer is an up-and-comer, and I really do think we're going to see some great things from our CPET canine-friendly crash-tested harness. That product rated first in our ease of use. It is a single-point connection, and two of the three sizes prevented the launch of the dog off of the seat. So I do feel that we will see some great things coming from the RCPET people as well in the future. But just because they place fourth doesn't mean that we have recommended that product for people that have arthritic hands and things like that. They're having difficulties with some of the clips on the Sleepy Pod. It's best to protect your pet with a quality crash-tested harness. And we're working to, you know, provide education to pet owners on how to select these things.
Lindsay, do you still, I believe you have three dogs, do you still allow your dogs to get in the car with you?
I do. a fairly limited amount. I have this, I guess it's a sad thing that I just know too much. I've done other testing. You know, we've looked at crates. We've done preliminary tests on some other products. And what I see frightens me. I'll be honest. That's why I'm driven to solve these problems for pet owners. We want people to take their pets with them. They are tremendous companions, and I love my dogs. But they do stay at home quite a bit now because I've just seen too much in the test laboratory.
And last question for you. Sleepy Pod sounds, the Clickit utility harness sounds like it's a marvelous product. Is this one generally that's going to set people, they're going to look at the price tag and go, oh my goodness, I just can't afford this? Or is it something that's reasonable? And everyone has a different definition of reasonable.
Well, a different definition of reasonable. But when we look at these products, again, you have to assess what's important to you. And this is a major point of education for pet owners. They look at the price point and say, I don't want to spend more than $30 on a harness. That harness, if that's the case, that harness is likely only going to provide you with distraction prevention. It will not necessarily offer you any crash protection. For a quality crash-tested harness, you're going to be looking to pay somewhere in the $75 to $115 range. And while people gasp when we tell them that, the manufacturers are doing their due diligence. They are creating products that are going to provide protection to you and your family and to your pet and reduce your vet costs. And, you know, you have the option of risking an injury to your animal and paying those vet bills, which will far exceed a $100 harness cost.
Very easily.
We look at these tools as an investment. Again, we found that you do get what you pay for when you look at these products, and it's something that we are encouraging pet owners to consider this as an investment in the safety of your pet and your family. Years ago, I talked to a woman, and her husband was hit in the back of the head by a dog that was flying across in an accident, and he had to be rushed in for emergency surgery, and it cost approximately $15,000 in vet bills to salvage their dog. And it was painful, and it was difficult, and it was a long healing process. We don't want people to go through that. If investing $100 prevents that from happening to you or your pet, we think that that's a good investment.
Lindsay Wolko, Center for Pet Safety. Is there another site where somebody can go to learn more about these harnesses and ways to keep the four-legged member of their family safe in a car?
We have published the study results on our website. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. We have video content on our website, centerforpetsafety.org. We have general travel information. We are working to update that and build a new website. We have a lot of exciting things that we're hoping to bring to the table in 2014 to help further educate pet owners. But we're very hopeful that they do find value in the work we're doing.
Well, Lindsay, it has been enlightening. Thank you very much. It's great information. I hope people take it to heart. Yes, you want to keep your pets with you, and you want to keep them safe. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. I've been talking with Lindsay Wolko, and she is with Center for Pet Safety, talking about dog harnesses in the car. Thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best pet owner possible. Thanks for listening. Take care. Chat with you next week.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.